Call Education Committee to order. It's 8 o'clock. We have three members present, so we do have a quorum. President Senator Stevens, Senator Olson, and myself, Betty Davis. We have one bill coming before us, Senate Bill, House Bill 215. Appeal to the school experience for salary and scales provision. We do have the sponsor of the bill here. I'm going to ask that you come forward. If there's anybody in the room that has cell phones on, would you please cut them off? Okay.
My name is Peggy Wilson, and I'm from District 2. And I really want to thank you for hearing this. This is very special, and I really appreciate it. And the schools will appreciate it, too. And quote, a simple bill. But I have a staff person. This is his first year, and this is his first bill. And so I'm going to let him talk about the bill and what it involves. And his name is Daniel DiStefano.
All right. Thank you. All right, Daniel, will you state your name for the record?
For the record, my name is Daniel DiStefano, staff representative Wilson. We've introduced House Bill 215 because we believe we need to give schools additional tools to provide our kids with the best education possible. This bill repeals salary scale limitations that were put in place during territorial days for hiring new out-of-state teachers, allowing for more competitive recruitment efforts. Current statutes limit the amount of out-of-state professional experience that may be used to establish a teacher's position on the salary scale. No matter how long they've been teaching, out-of-state teachers with bachelor's degree can only receive credit for 6 years of out-of-state experience. A master's degree increases the credit to only 8 years. Hard-to-fill specialty positions such as therapists and special needs teachers are in high demand in school districts across the country, and we also have a shortage here in Alaska. By repealing this antiquated statute, districts will be able to negotiate salaries on a case-by-case basis. This will help keep Alaska competitive with the rest of the country when vying for needed educational professionals. Thank you for considering House Bill 215, and I urge you to pass it out of committee.
Are there any questions from the committee at this time? All right, thank you for your testimony.
Madam Chairman, I do
I'm
have
sorry.
One question. We're working out backslash W, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions? Yes, Senator Huggin?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chairman. If this essentially floats the new hire recruiting scale, I don't see how we have a zero fiscal note.
Well, each school does it on a case-by-case basis. And what they individually do, because this is left over from territorial days. And so we just want to get it off the books, because right now, if someone comes in with 20 years experience, and it may be like a special ed teacher that the school wants really bad, well, the special ed teacher may say, well, how much can you give me? And they say, well, we can only give you 3 or 6 years experience. They may say, well, I'm going to go somewhere else then. And to be honest, some schools are ignoring this statute, and some schools realize that that's the law, and so some schools are using it. So this will just make it so that they're all kind of on an equal playing field, and also allow us to be able to say, okay, you've got 20 years experience, and then the school itself, within their own budget, can decide what they're going to allow. And if it's a hard place teacher, they probably will go a little bit further up the line. If it's not a hard place teacher, they probably won't. So it'll be just on a case-to-case basis, on a school-by-school basis.
You may continue.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I appreciate the answer and understand that that it's not predictable based on how you described it, but their budget's our budget. They're spending our money. Mr. Eddie Jeans will be forking out more money under this scenario, I'm sure.
And he might be able to explain it better than
okay.
I did, so. And do you have a comment?
I was just going to say it's because it's within their own budget, so the funding that they're being allocated will stay the same, but they get to have more discretion on how they allocate that funding.
Right. And if
you
I
make
might,
it, Daniel?
Yeah, Madam Chairman, the bill now is one line. Could you just kind of tell us how that happened?
Well, we had two subjects in there. We had a subject that was also what we could do to help with dropout prevention, and or push out, which is a term that we've come to know. And to be honest, the Education Committee is working on a bill this summer on dropout prevention, and that was a part that they wanted to put in the bill that we're working on over the interim.
Thank you.
Yes. We have one person to testify. Mr. Alcantara, you want to come? Before I call you, excuse me, we do have Eddie Jeans in the audience. Did you plan to testify?
Madam Chair, I'm here to answer questions.
Questions only? Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
Could we just get an example? I know it's sort of hard to do this, but say a student, I mean, whatever, whatever you may choose, but a teacher with coming in with 8 years credit when, in fact, they're working in a job somewhere else and they maybe have 20 years credit. I mean, can we get an idea? What's the difference in salary? Why would it entice me?
I'm going to call Eddie Jeans up.
Yeah. What would entice a teacher to come here and in terms of salary benefits if you have additional years? I don't remember how exactly that works out, Eddie.
For the record, my name is Eddie Jeans. I'm the Director of School Finance for the Alaska Department of Education. And the way that works is there are steps that teachers are awarded for their numbers of years of experience. And this particular law, as Representative Wilson pointed out, does date back to territorial days. It dates back to when we had state-operated schools. And it was really intended for the state-operated schools' salary scale to limit how many years people could bring into the state of Alaska. I'd also suggest that it was at a time when we were the highest paying average teacher salaries in the nation. That's no longer true. We also know that we do have teacher shortages in specialty areas. So the pool of teachers that are out there has diminished substantially from when this law was adopted back in territorial days. So this simply allows the districts one additional tool where I would hope that individual districts would adopt policies to address this so that they're not just openly negotiating on an individual basis, but to have a policy that, you know, when there are hard to fill positions, that they have the latitude to bring them in at the extended step. And we will be working with districts and encouraging them to adopt policies in that area. So this is just provides them with another tool when we know we have teacher shortages. As Representative Wilson told you also, some districts didn't even know this law was on the books. And it's, be honest with you, it's not something that the department monitors. So when we did away with state-operated schools back in 1976, I think a lot of people just weren't even aware that this law was on the books.
So, Madam Chair, the question, just to give me an example of a step difference in any district, how much does it mean? Does it mean an extra $1,000 a year?
Well, actually, Mr. Alcantara's organization negotiates those. I think he might be able to answer that better than I could.
Okay, thank you.
And if I may, Madam Chair, in response to Senator Huggins' question about the zero fiscal note,
yes.
It doesn't increase the amount that the districts are going to receive through the foundation program or any other state formula. It simply allows them the latitude to negotiate within the existing resources that they have.
All right. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Madam Chairman?
Yes. Wait just a minute. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Are there penalties for not abiding by the statutes that were there for this period of time?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, as I mentioned, the department really doesn't even monitor this particular statute. So
there's no statutory penalties?
Not that I'm aware of.
My last question, Madam Chairman, has to do with, we're 50 years old. This was supposedly something that was passed during the territorial days where at least our educational system that I was under or you know, had to do with BIA grade schools, including federally funded high schools that people went off to boarding school. Why are we finally changing it now?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I think it's simply because we weren't aware that the limitation was really there. And some districts in their recruitment were doing their due diligence and found that there was a law that limited how much time they could award incoming out-of-state teachers. So I believe some of them contacted Representative Wilson, and she said it doesn't make a lot of sense. And I would tend to agree with her.
And I agree as well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Chairman. Yes. Mr. Alcantara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Always tough to follow Eddie Jeans up to the microphone. But for the record, I'm John Alcantara. I'm the Government Relations Director for 13,000 members of NEA Alaska Public School Employees Union. First off, before I start, I just want to take this last opportunity in the last meeting of the year to thank Senate Education Committee for all the work that you guys have done this year. Also, hopefully have that opportunity on the House side, because having a standing committee in education is important, something that we've worked for a long time. And I know you guys had little unforeseen circumstances as far as quorums and chairs and other things here, and I really do appreciate you making the time to hear the legislation here. A little bit about NEA and what happens at NEA. 13,000 members elect about 400 delegates every January to meet at the Anchorage Hilton from all across the state, you know, from Ketchikan to Kotzebue and points in between. They go there and kind of set policy and set direction and set my job for what our positions are. There are 217 NEA Alaska legislative positions, but there's nothing on this particular issue of House Bill 215. This bill was introduced on April 3rd, about 12 days ago, and it may be a very good bill. It may have been a very good bill in its original format, but I guess the question I ask on behalf of the members I've heard from since Monday when this bill passed the House is, what is the rush on this, and why are they doing this now, and why is the bill that was introduced on April 3rd moving through the process this quickly? And I guess it's tough to answer those, because, you know, I attended a thing for the Territorial Guardsmen yesterday, a very important bill that took 65 days to work its way through the legislative process. And this, we're on day 12, and we got about 4 days left to have this bill pass, which may be a good bill. And it's a bill that I hope there'd be time to work with over the interim as they took out most of House Bill 215, work on this issue as well over the interim to make sure that there aren't any sort of rushes to judgment. And I guess part of it is, as Eddie said, individual contracts, district by district. I know I'm looking at least three former school board members, and I'm not sure about Senator Olson. So I know you're all aware that each individual contract is different. Anchorage, for example, allows 5 years on a salary schedule. Anchorage has less of a problem recruiting some folks. Juneau allows 10 years on a salary schedule, but if they're abiding by the law, if you come from outside with a master's degree, you'd only start at step 8, with a bachelor's degree at step 6. So there would be, you would have to have other service in the state of Alaska in order to come in, and Juneau at step 10 on the salary schedule. So I guess part of me says, is this a good idea to take a antiquated statute off the books? Potentially it is. I mean, there is that potential that it might benefit our members to have this gone. But I guess one example, maybe going back to Senator Stevens' point, but one example I'd use is if I was hired as a special ed teacher in Petersburg with 8 years experience 4 years ago, and I'd spent 4 years in Petersburg doing a good job as a special ed teacher, and they gave me the maximum placement on the salary schedule. I mean, I started at step 8. Now I'm at step 12 in Petersburg, and somebody gets hired from outside, and because they're a highly skilled special needs teacher, they potentially come in at step 15. So I'm working with a colleague that just got hired from out of state that comes in 3 steps above the pay scale that I've worked in the district for 4 years. I mean, I just think there's potential that this thing has some risk to it. And I really do think this bill has been obviously substantially changed. It went from a 3-page bill to a 3-line bill. It's moved through the committee, moved through it, I would say, almost, you know, lightning type of speed. And I think, as well as some of the other issues that will be addressed over the interim, maybe a prudent course of action is to hold this bill, work on all the issues over the interim, and bring back a good bill for the 2010 session. Because, kind of to paraphrase a quote I heard, change occurs when the necessity for it overcomes our resistance to it. And I don't know if there's a necessity to make this change in the last few days of session. And what I've been hearing from members just since Monday is, whoa, you know, hit the brakes. What's the rush to do this, and what are the implications of it? And I can't answer because I don't know. I don't have a NEA delegate assembly position from late January, and I don't know necessarily what the implications may be none. It sounds like they may be none, but the implications that a potential person may get hired, you know, at the top of a pay scale could indeed happen. So I guess I would say proceed with caution. Maybe let's work. I'm happy to work with the sponsor, and I know members will be as well, to make sure that maybe we get all the good pieces of the original bill and not just this one piece passed through it in the last week of session. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the members? Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chairman. I don't remember in this case Matt Sue's rules, but I know there's some portability of tenure. I don't know whether that's a state law or part of the contract, but the same thing with the salary schedule and steps. And I guess, Madam Chairwoman, my concern is that I have not been able to talk to our district about this particular bill, and that I think it was scheduled yesterday. And I mean, it appears to be benign and all those kind of good things, but I don't know that. And I guess one of the things that I've heard the legislature criticize for is, you know, the last hours of things that happen that surprises people. And I would hope this is benign, but if it isn't benign, I would hate to be one of the people that was surprising our school district and teachers and those kinds of people. So anyway.
Thank you for that. Any other comments, Senator Olson?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I guess the only comment I have, Mr. Alcantara, is that there's something that seems to be straightforward about this. I'm sure there's hesitancy on the side of the school districts as far as trying to go ahead and usurp the law to try and entice more teachers to come on up here. We're getting into that time where we're trying to hire new teachers. I wouldn't see why we wouldn't go ahead with this kind of legislation. I mean, at the recommendation of the bill sponsor.
Through the chair to Senator Olson, I'm not certain that it wouldn't work. I just think that I don't know if there's districts that are ignoring the statute necessarily. I can speak to some of the, admittedly, I know the urban contracts a little better than I do some of the rural ones.
Sure.
You know, Matt Sue, I know, has 15 steps on a salary schedule. Anchorage has about 22. And obviously the difference between master's degree step 8 and master's degree step 20 is significant. And I know Senator Stevens asked that question. It could be in Anchorage, for example, you're talking probably in excess of $20,000 between that potential difference from around the low 50s to about the low 70s. So, I mean, there is potential that this could be a benefit to members, and job fairs are happening now, but there is the potential that it could be used arbitrarily, and a person can, I guess, cherry pick, and based on the money available in their district, they could say, hey, I'm going to offer this person at the job fair step 20 to come here. And individual collective bargain agreements at districts, potentially it's unfair to Anchorage, potentially it's unfair to Juneau, or places that have 5-year max input in a contract that doesn't expire till June 30th of 11. You know, they would have that hands tied a little bit in competing with other districts that may have, I don't know if they have the resources to do it, but they may not have anything on the books that says that they can't offer, you know, the top of the pay scale to somebody at whatever special therapist or special needs type of job. So I don't want to get in a fight about whether it's a good bill or a bad bill. I think it could potentially be good. I guess my worry, and for the worry of my members that have just surfaced in the last 48 hours, literally since Monday when this passed the House, is what is this and why is it moving at lightning speed, and what does it mean to folks getting hired? I don't know what it means to folks getting hired.
Madam Chair.
Yes, you may continue.
Well, it just surfaced in the last 48 hours. Is my understanding it was introduced on April 3rd. Are you not aware of what's going on here? What seems to be the problem? It already, obviously, already went through the House, and now we're here in the Senate. How can it just have surfaced in the last 48 hours? But I guess even more important, my real question has to do with when my superintendent, who was named as the number one superintendent last year, from the Kotzebue School District calls down here and says, you know, Senator Olson, I'd like to go ahead and hire this person out here. And I would say that we have got a lot of hard-to-fill spots up here. We want to go ahead and increase this person's salary, but it's illegal. How do I go ahead and answer that superintendent when he says to me, what shall I do? I'm asking you the same question. When we have the opportunity to go ahead and correct the law, and you're saying, hold off, and essentially having those school districts out there, from what I understand, doing what is probably illegal.
Well, through the chair, Senator Olson, yeah, I'll admit the bill was introduced on April 3rd and was changed Friday. And it, as I said, it's become a completely different bill. For Superintendent Eck in Northwest Arctic Borough, I don't know what you tell him. I don't know if this is a silver bullet necessarily to help him or not. I don't know Northwest Arctic's contract verbatim. I'm not sure what's allowed in there now. I think that as they recruit people and hopefully get him to stay long term in Northwest Arctic, the law as exists now has flexibility to at least offer him something on the salary schedule. So I don't know what they're offering. I don't know if individually he's tried to offer more than 8 for a master's, more than 6 for a bachelor's, and certainly I've spent time in Buckland and Norvik and some of the villages there in Northwest Arctic, and I understand about the teacher turnover, sir, in your district, and I appreciate the issue. I don't necessarily know if this is a solution or not.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I just make the comment under the one of the pieces of paper that was passed out, the highest turnover rate is in western rural districts of 26 to 28% annually, and I'm just bringing out the Northwest Arctic Borough as one example, but I represent 5 other school districts that are out there that are having a difficult time in filling their spots. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the committee? Thank you, Mr. Alcantara.
Thank you, Senator.
All right.
Madam Chair, just a general comment.
Yes.
It appears that this is something we're going to have to change eventually. This year and next year, we're going to have to change it because either folks are ignoring it and has no impact, it will have no impact because people are ignoring it anyway, or if there are districts out there who know the law and are careful about it, they're not able to use this tool. So I understand that you know, this is not an earth-shaking major piece of legislation, but it could help this year. It could help some districts as they go about hiring teachers for next year. I don't think this does any harm, even if everyone is ignoring it now, but we don't know the answer to that. So I just think, as Senator Wilson said, as Representative Wilson said, it's another tool, and we're not doing any harm in passing it. So I'd encourage us to move it out.
I'm going to close public testimony. Is there anybody online to testify for this bill before I close the testimony out? Hearing none, we're going to close it. I'm going to make a statement here, and I'm going to accept responsibility for placing this bill on the fast track. When I looked at the bill, and I was told that it went through the House with a 40-0, and that's very seldom over on the House side that you get anything to get 40-0 on, unless it's a resolution or something that's not very significant of sort. And I looked at that and I said, you know, that might be a helpful tool. And I still agree that I think it is. I see I have the committee in a dilemma here. We only have just a few days to go. And our committee had shut down. I called them back to hear this because I thought this would just be another tool in the toolbox that would help school districts, and I don't want to do that. Always concerned about education and want to do what's going to be helpful. But what I see here, we will call ourselves together. We could pass this bill out of here. It goes to rule from here. We do have a few days before we would have to have this bill on the floor. There is some need probably to seek out some further information that I didn't, and I take responsibility for that. I did not check with anyone to see if there was any concerns out there. I thought if it was, it would have showed up in the House, and no problem over here on the Senate side. The committee probably would hear that bill, be glad to come back. we could pass it out of here. We could put it in Ruth. We could hold that bill there to make sure we get further information. If we decide, I could call my people back, send them emails or whatever, discussing the information that I received. If you want to go that route, I sure would put the committee aid here to work along with my staff if I have to do that. So I'm going to leave it up to the body to decide here what we need to do. I'm open for suggestions or ready for a vote.
May I make a comment?
Yes, you may.
This bill was heard twice in education in the House, and there was some questions on the part of the bill that had to do with dropout prevention, and rather than hold up the bill, I am shocked kind of this morning that there is even any comments, because it was heard, I don't know how far apart it was, but it was at least a week apart, I think, when it was heard in the House. And we worked on it a little bit and talked about it, and they decided, since we're working on dropout prevention, just to take that out, and they're going to put it in the other part of another bill in the interim. And the part that had absolutely no one made any comments against it whatsoever, that's the part that they moved out. And so that's why we came up here, and I was pretty shocked, because there's no subtle try to undermine anybody in this. This is just not only one school, but several schools came to me and asked for me to put a bill in. This part of the bill we had way early on ready to go, because it was so simple. The bill drafter, you know, worked on it. And so that this was very early on. And it was the other part that we were waiting on. Instead of having two bills, we thought, well, we would just stick them together, because it both had to do with retaining teachers and retaining kids in schools. And so because of that, it took longer, because we were working on that part that was the most difficult part. And believe me, there is no part on my part to try to sneak something in any way, shape, or form. And so those are my comments.
Representative Wilson, we don't want to indicate that you are trying to slip something in. So for the record, no one at this and on this committee is saying that.
Okay. Thank you.
I trust you on that. The only thing that I'd like to know, when you put this bill in, was it in this form that it's in now, or was it all the other information that was deleted out of there? Was that put in at the committee level, or did you put it in as a sponsor?
What you see now was in the bill to begin with.
Just this?
No, there was more parts to it, but this was in the bill, just like you said.
I understand that.
Yeah.
And what was the other part in there? I see what all this information that was taken out by retention of teachers and things there and all that, but I don't see what dropout. What was it in there for dropouts?
Where is that information? It was a way for schools to be able to get their counts in this year, so they would know exactly. Right now, they have to estimate what their counts are for next year. They just have to guess.
So you would just limit it? Okay.
And so what we did was set up something so that they would be able to do something solid this year, so when they went to make their negotiations with the city, which they always have to do in March, that they would already have a hard figure that they could go with for the next year. And so that was in there. And then the next year, in their October count, if they went up, they would be able to get that. And it was a little scenario of how they could do that. And so that was a little bit difficult to figure out, and so that's why it took a little longer.
All right, thanks. Senator Stevens?
Just a question, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Of the Representative Wilson, you mentioned that this came about at the request of districts. Was this particular piece of it a request of districts, or
yes.
You received requests from several districts that this was an issue that they wanted solved?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Huggins?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Which district was that?
Oh, golly. The Wrangell District, the Craig District, and I am sorry, I cannot remember who the other district was because I didn't know the superintendent there. And so I can't remember what district was, but there were three districts that had requested it.
Right. And which districts have testified on it?
There hasn't, I don't think there's, we haven't had anybody testify.
Nobody's testified on it.
Yes.
And like I said before, I'm not against this bill. I'm just, process-wise, I mean, someone said that this won't do any harm. I mean, I don't want to be supporting things that, quote, just don't do any harm. I mean, I think life is more complicated than that. And what we're essentially doing is that I know that districts have provisions for scales and hiring and experience and compensation. And this at the state level just does away with the process we had. That may be perfectly well and good for our process going forward. But maybe we need, 10 years, 15 years. I don't know what the answer is. But we're just wiping it out. And I'm not so sure that that's in our best interest, but it may be. However, we're not having that discussion. We're just saying the scales go out the window. And maybe we should allow people to bring in 15 years. Or if it's in a geographical area that's suffering turnover rates at 20% per year, maybe it should be 20 years experience and give them extra experience just to get them in so we get more money. I don't know the answer to that, but we haven't had that conversation. And I think it's a conversation that is, if we're going to be, quote, passing state statutes or just taking things out wholesale, a process that was in our statutes will be gone.
Yes.
But it's practice at the district levels. I'm not sure. I'm a little confused why the haste to do this, and I haven't heard anything from my district about it.
Okay. I have in my hand now for the committee's information here. The people that testified on the House side on this bill, go by the districts. You had Anchorage School District, Matt Sue School District, Juneau School. Then there were some individual schools that also testified on the bill, like Juneau Charter School, Homer, and it doesn't say if that was one of the schools, it just says Homer. And then we also had Jeff Friedman from Anchorage, who is on the school board, testifying to the bill, but it doesn't say, I guess they were all positive for the bill. I don't have that information, and those minutes are not done, so I'm not able to look at them. I said, but they are now putting them on the hard drive. They are putting them on there so I could be able to get that maybe within, before the day is even gone. I hope that might be helpful to you. That is the list. We're back. Any other questions from the sponsor? Not, I guess I'm waiting to hear what's the will of the committee at this time.
Well, I'll make the motion, Madam Chairman. I move that we pass out Senate Bill 215 out of the Education Committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
House Bill.
I'm sorry, House Bill.
Okay, and the individual recommendation, is there any objection? Here, no objection. The bill will move out of the committee. And I do want to say that so that you will know that I am going to ask that this, if it goes, when it goes to rules, that it's not be immediately put on the schedule for us to vote on it.
Okay.
Until I can get other information and get it back to my members.
I can get lots of schools to write.
We're going to adjourn at this time.